Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
If you were listening to this podcast whilst waiting for a flight, would you be relaxing in a premium airport lounge? No? Then start your journey with Oneworld, a leading alliance of world-class airlines. Reach top-tier status with a Oneworld member airline's frequent flyer program, and you can enjoy an array of benefits, including priority check-in and boarding, and access to nearly 700 premium airport lounges around the world. Discover more at oneworld.com. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
9 not pheasant pluckers, but pheasant pluckers' mates. Only plucking pheasants because the pheasant plucker's late.
That was a risky one.
That was. I've got even more risky ones.
Really?
I don't know if I should save them.
Save them. Let's have a series of intros of you doing pesty tongue twisters.
Yeah. I've got a few good ones.
Yeah. I hope you can pull them off like you did that one.
Yeah, I think of mastered.
That one could have gone very wrong. I could have got the bleep machine out of that.
There's one that's not rude that I find really difficult to say, and it's, can you cram a clam in a cream clean can? And yeah. Trying to say it fast is so hard. Can you cram a... No,
don't even try.
No, it's difficult. But I will master it one day.
You will. And then that'll be intro for episode 500.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, take me a while.
Right, so what are we discussing this week, Josh?
Oh, today we are discussing the mysterious of... the mysteriousness of the 27 Club.
The 27 Club.
Yes.
Now, obviously, this is something that I'm fairly well versed in. But I'm guessing not everybody's going to know what the 27 Club is.
No. I've written a brief statement of what it is.
Okay, cool.
For people that don't know.
Well, I'm only saying this because, like, obviously one of the lads that we work with, he hadn't got a clue when you mentioned what we were doing this week. So.
Yeah, very true. The 27 Club are celebrities, mostly musicians, who died at the age of 27, many with mystery or coincidence behind the deaths.
In mysterious circumstances. Yeah.
So before we get into the meat and bones, can I ask you, when did you first hear or discover the 27 Club? When did you know it was a thing?
Probably around 18 years old when I got in my first band.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I wasn't expecting you to go that far back because... I only recently found out about it like a handful of years ago.
Oh, did you?
And it was when I was walking through, I think it was one of the markets in London, and they had all these stalls, and there was a guy selling T-shirts and posters and stuff, and one of the T-shirts had like Kurt Cobain and Jimi Hendrix and all the 27. And I just thought it was a really cool T-shirt, and it said in this really cool writing at the 27 Club. And I was like, I want to be a member of that club. That's really cool. And then I found out what it meant because I asked the guy, I was like, what does it mean? And he explained it. I was like, oh, okay, I don't want to be a member of that club.
I always did. That's the crazy thing. Like, when I was like 18, 19 years old, I got my first band and that. Like, and obviously, we thought we were going to get famous. We never did. But yeah, that was kind of it was kind of my career choice was to get famous and die at 27 and join the 27 Club. I know it's dark, isn't it?
That's so morbid. There's plenty more life in you.
Well, there is, yeah. I'm glad I didn't join the 27 Club. I wouldn't be here doing this podcast. But... But yeah, strangely enough, that was an ambition of mine when I was younger.
Yeah. I'm glad that's an ambition that failed, to be honest. I'm going to kick things off then, mate. Should we go for it?
Yeah.
So the first member of the 27 Club, well, there was another member, but I mean, I've just gone for the top six that are considered the staples.
The most famous one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So Brian Jones...
Oh, right, yeah.
So he was the founder, lead guitarist, and songwriter of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just the members that they've got now were the members of the Rolling Stones. But he was actually kicked out of the band a month before he died.
Oh, right.
And it was the 3rd of July, 1969. They found him at midnight, and it was his Swedish girlfriend found him at the bottom of the pool.
Oh.
And it was just those two. And they found a lot of drugs and alcohol in his system.
Well, I'm not surprised with the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Disclaimer, there is going to be a lot of drugs and death in today's episode.
Well, the Rolling Stones have what's known as the Voodoo Lounge. Have you ever heard of that?
No, but it sounds great.
Yeah. So basically backstage... when they're in their dressing rooms and stuff, like they have this thing called the Voodoo Lounge, which is basically just a cabinet full of drugs and alcohol. And anybody who's invited backstage, you know, to party with them can say that they've been to the Voodoo Lounge. And that's all it is, basically. It's just a cabinet with a load of stuff that they take round with them.
That's insane.
Yeah.
They could have had so many more overdoses.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I've never visited the Voodoo Lounge, but I have met musicians that have been to the Voodoo Lounge. And they say it's great.
Yeah, I bet they do. And I'm going to throw it out there. Everyone says it. How is Keith Richards still going?
I have no idea.
Like, he must have taken more drugs and alcohol than anyone on the planet.
Probably, yeah.
He's still kicking it.
Yeah.
Like, good on him. He's got an immune system for drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, he definitely has, yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised that he didn't join the 27 Club, to be fair.
Yeah. That's all I got on Brian Jones. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's not much to tell about him. He was kind of the first one, if you know what I mean.
So
I had to mention him because he's in the top six. So,
there's a random question. Was Keith Moon in the 27 Club? Or
that name didn't come up when I was doing the research.
Okay, from the drummer from The Who, no.
No.
I know he died quite young, but
he might have just missed it. But his name didn't come up in the research.
Fair enough.
I'll have to get back to you.
I was just interested.
Janis Joplin coming in at number two.
Right, okay, yeah.
For those who don't know.
When was that, 70s?
That was not written down. I think it is. I'm pretty sure
it was
like 71 or something.
She was like sort of Motown-y sort of singer, wasn't she, Janis Joplin?
Yeah, she was an American singer-songwriter known for her powerful mezzo-soprano vocals and her electric stage presence.
Yeah.
I don't really know much about Janis Joplin. I've heard the name several times, but...
She was kind of before my era and not necessarily like my personal niche in music. Mm-hmm. At least when I was younger. I don't mind Janis Joplin, but I've never sort of gone out of my way to listen to her or learn much about her, to be honest. I didn't even know that she was in the 27 Club.
Ah. Well, she was found unconscious on the floor of a hotel room, and the autopsy determined the cause of death was a heroin overdose.
Okay.
Possibly compounded by alcohol as well.
Yeah, you're not meant to mix the two.
Yeah, I didn't know that. until I'd done the research that obviously, like, mixing drugs and alcohol, I've always been told, even with paracetamol, like, don't mix
these. But yeah, with morphine and any opiates, it's just very much
very lethal.
Yeah, it can be very bad.
Now, there's a couple of interesting things with Janis Joplin's death.
Okay.
Which makes the 27 Club a bit more interesting.
Well, this is the reason why it is the 27 Club, isn't it? Because there's usually some kind of mystery around, you know, the bodies, where how they're found or whatever.
So the first thing was she was obviously a heroin addict, but she enjoyed doing heroin when she had people looking out for her and with people.
Right.
It was only on the rare occasion that she actually done it on her own. And
was she the kind of person that did it, like, what goes on the road stays on the road sort of thing?
Yeah, kind of. From the research, she wasn't a typical, like, when you think of, like, a heroin addict kind of thing. She actually seemed quite smart, like, very, very switched on. Like, she seemed aware of what heroin was.
Yeah,
and I know you can't use heroin what's the word?
Recreationally.
I can't even say it. But it was almost like that kind of thing for her.
Right, okay.
So
fair play to her. You say she was addicted to it, but obviously she wasn't badly addicted to it. If she could control herself, you know, it was almost like a functioning addict.
Very much so. Yeah.
Right.
And on the night of her death, she was actually supposed to hang out and do heroin with her best friend Peggy and her fiance Seth.
Right.
But they didn't turn up. So Peggy,
they both didn't turn up. Maybe there's something going on there.
I don't like to speculate, but that is odd.
Yeah,
that hadn't crossed my mind.
Nearly 50 years ago, so you know we're never going to find out now, are we?
But Peggy actually called the hotel to say that she couldn't make it. Got through to the front desk.
Yeah,
but the message never got passed on. So Janis.
Oh, because upstairs she never picked up the phone.
Yeah. So she just never got the message to say that she couldn't make it. And Seth went rogue. No.
Oh, just didn't bother telling her anything.
Yeah. Just no one knows what happened to him. He just didn't turn up. Turned up the next day. But yeah.
No explanation.
Yeah. Just didn't turn up.
Did he not have an alibi? Surely the police would have wanted to talk to him.
Well, I'll have to dive in onto a true crime podcast for part of the 27 Club. But when I was reading through, he just didn't really have an excuse. He was just kind of not there.
Okay, so potentially Janis might even have already been dead when the front desk was trying to patch the phone call through from, what was her name, Peggy?
Peggy. Yeah, possibly. So that's one little weird bit of tidbit there.
Strange.
When they done the autopsy, they said that the people that conducted the autopsy said that the heroin seemed to be a lot stronger, and they'd seen that amongst other deaths in the area where a lot of people were kind of dropping like flies.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't know whether it was the same batch of heroin. I think the chances it could be from the same dealer or syndicate, whatever. Yeah. But they'd seen a lot of this specific type of heroin, and it was a lot stronger than usual. So if Janis was using it
recreationally,
then this would have been enough to overdose. Whereas if she'd stuck to the normal, I'd say normal heroin, I don't think there's such a thing as normal heroin.
Yeah, I honestly actually don't really know that much about how heroin is made or what they put in it other than opium. But I'm guessing however it's made, that batch was made with more opium in it than what it would normally have. Maybe that was the reason she overdosed, because it sounds like she was quite careful. She knew what she'd be doing. She knew what dosage to have.
Yeah.
And so, if the heroin was just a stronger form of opium, she might have loaded herself up with a normal dosage and just got overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
And again, there's alcohol involved as well. That doubles your chances of overdosing.
And I did also read, Peggy made a statement to the police that it was the night before. She said she witnessed Janis slip over her heels. She had these big heels on for the show or whatever. And she witnessed her fall over and hit her head, and she had a huge gash in the side of her head.
Okay.
I think it was either not the night before, because she was supposed to turn up, but I think it might have been the day before, 2 days before, right, at a show. So Peggy made a statement that she thinks that the head injury could have had something to do with it as well.
Might have been
as
a well contributing factor.
Yeah. And then the last thing I'll say about Janis Joplin was narcotics were actually removed from the crime scene and then placed back. And this is actually a common thing.
What? Who yeah. by? What?
Yeah, so this is the thing. So there were certain people, whether it was...
The people who discovered her?
Yeah, so whether it was police officers or, you know...
Hotel whoever, staff yeah, or whatever.
There was an assumption back in the 60s and 70s that when this kind of thing happened, especially with celebrities doing no good, not necessarily death involved, but...
Yeah.
They would try and protect their image and obviously hide, okay. So it wasn't until, you know, people started doing autopsies and things that this was going to get found out anyway.
Yeah.
People just stopped bothering. So the narcotics from the scene were actually removed.
Removed. And then when they found out that it was an overdose, it was like, well, who took them?
Yeah.
Bring them back. Come on. Let's see what she was on.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Fair enough.
And that actually has happened quite a few times with... celebrity deaths and celebrity situations. Okay. So, interesting one. So, that's Janis Joplin, number two on the Big Six.
Right.
Number three, someone that I know you're a fan of.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimmy.
The man, my boy. The myth, the legend.
Yeah.
So, he died in London, which I didn't know until I'd done the research.
Didn't know that, no.
No. I actually don't know that much about Jimi Hendrix. I knew that he was left-handed and played the guitar, and he set a guitar on fire at Woodstock.
He did.
And obviously, learning guitar growing up, all along the Watchtower, Voodoo Child, things like that.
He was a big fan of Bob Dylan, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, All Along the Watchtower was originally Bob Dylan's song.
Oh.
It was a cover version that Jimmy did.
See?
And did it so much better than Bob did.
Yeah. I think anyone can do a better version of that, if I'm honest. Let's not kid ourselves. I'm not the only person that thinks Bob Dylan can't sing, right?
Oh, exactly. So even Jimi Hendrix said it himself. He styled his own vocals on Bob Dylan's.
Really?
Yeah. His brother's advice was like sloppy singing is in fashion. So you want to make sure you sing sloppy.
I actually thought Jimmy was quite good at singing, to be fair.
I think he got a decent voice, but yeah, he actually tried to make his singing worse because he was such a big Bob Dylan fan.
I mean, Bob Dylan, I'm not taking anything away from him. Great writer.
Yeah.
You know, great songwriter and performer, but...
Great poet.
Voice? Not so much.
Yeah, not so much.
September 18th, 1970... is when he passed away.
Yep.
Days before his death, he was in poor health due to overworking and no sleep and influenza-related illness.
Yep.
Relationship issues with his girlfriend at the time. And he also had a big disconnect and beef with the music industry at the time as well.
He wanted creative control and they didn't want to give it to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't very happy with the music industry at all. And that's all what they think is kind of contributed to his death, all of those things together.
Right.
And when they did the autopsy, they found sleeping pills in his system, and it was 8 times the recommended dosage. 18 times the recommended dosage.
Wow.
They found barbiturates.
Yeah.
Is that right? And which led to him choking on his own vomit.
Yes.
So ultimately, that is
That's how I recall it. Is Jimi Hendrix. He was on barbiturates and red wine, I believe.
Yep, drinking red wine and smoking hash.
Yeah, a bit of weed, obviously, and basically, vomited in his sleep and choked to death on his own vomit. It's such a sad end.
It is
such an incredible man.
Mm-hmm. And he was with his girlfriend, Monica Danneman, at the time. And they went to a party the night before and they returned at 3 a.m. This is the conspiracy side of the Jimi Hendrix death.
Yeah, go for it.
So he did die of choking on his own vomit, but there is a little bit of conspiracy there. So the next morning, Hendrix was found dead at 11 a.m., roughly, by paramedics. Some people think that it was suicide. Some people say foul play.
Right.
One of the theories is he was possibly murdered by his manager, Michael Jeffrey, for his life insurance policy worth millions.
Okay.
So allegedly, Michael Jeffrey had some part of his will or his fortune.
Okay. Fair enough.
And he actually got on really well with Jimi Hendrix's girlfriend at the time. And Jimi had phoned him to say that he was going to split up and wasn't happy in the relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The manager was trying to convince him to stay with her and work it out and things. This was literally the night before his death.
So good, so good, so good. Perfect gifts? We've got them at Nordstrom Rack stores now. UGG, Nike, Barefoot Dreams, Kate Spade New York, and more. Find everything on their wish list all in one place.
Steve Madden? Yes, please.
It's perfect.
Did we just score?
The greatest gifts of all time? Yeah.
Head to your Nordstrom Rack store to score. Great brands, great prices, the greatest gifts of all time.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
So another couple of points here is Monica's story changed several times to the police.
Mm-hmm.
So she said she was there with the paramedics in the morning. She found him.
Yeah.
The paramedics said in statements, never met her. She wasn't there when they turned up.
Right.
The door was wide open and the curtains and everything were drawn. So it was pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
So even walking past the door, you wouldn't necessarily look in and think someone is dead. So
No.
So someone would have had to known he was dead and made the phone call. But she wasn't in the house. She'd gone out at 10 a.m. to go get cigarettes. And then when she came back, that's when the paramedics were already there.
Oh, we're already there. Right.
So that is something that is
a little bit weird, isn't it?
Fishy. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's pretty much the conspiracy there on Jimi Hendrix.
Well, I know that the night before he died, you said that they were at a club, mm-hmm. him and his girlfriend. I remember seeing an interview with Eric Clapton, who obviously Eric and Jimi had a sort of a relationship. If they were friends. But I think Eric was always a little bit jealous of Jimmy's abilities on the guitar.
Yeah, anyone would be.
I mean, even Eric Clapton, who's, you know, like the second greatest guitarist.
yeah, very true.
But Jimmy never, ever played a left-handed guitar.
Mm.
He always played a right-handed one that was strung the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, the knobs and the whammy bar were kind of always in the way for him.
Ah.
So Eric, it inspired Fender to make the first left-handed guitar. And Eric bought one for Jimmy and took it with him. And he saw him at the club that night, but he was in a booth across the room. And Eric was obviously distracted with whatever he was doing. And he wanted to give Jimmy this guitar that night, and he just lost track of him.
No.
And Jimmy went home, obviously, died. That night, Eric never got the chance to give him that left-handed guitar.
So he never played a left-handed
guitar? Never played a left-handed guitar.
That's quite sad, isn't it?
It was right-handed. It's
pretty much made for him as well.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, R.I.P. Jimi Hendrix, the greatest guitarist of all time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've got to hand it to Hendrix. I mean, as a young black man in 1960s London...
Yeah.
He achieved more in 4 years than what most people do in a lifetime.
Yeah. You blew my mind when you told me his career was like, not his whole career, but like the main crux.
The part where he was actually the feature, yeah. Because like he was like a session guitarist and that for like B.B. King when he came, because he was a paratrooper as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in the army. We came out of the paratroopers and he was just a session guitarist, going around on the road with the likes of B.B. King and that, like just playing guitar for them. And then the manager found him over in America, asked him if he wanted to come back, he'd make something of it. And Jimmy agreed with the one condition that his image would be the same as the Beatles on the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album. So nice. That's why he ended up with the double-breasted jackets and stuff, like with all the cord and frills and tassels and stuff like and that.
Austin
yeah.
Powers stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he styled that on the Sgt. Pepper's album. Yeah.
But in 4 years, that's impressive.
Really impressive. So, such salute. A great guy. Salute. Yeah, definitely.
Number four in the 27 Club of the Big Six, Jim Morrison from The Doors.
The Doors. Yes.
Another one, a bit like Bob Dylan, voice wise.
No, I don't rate him. Crooner.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, a real good songwriter.
Yes.
Poet.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think there is like a book or something called Jim Morrison, American Poet, where they go through and analyze all his lyrics and his writing and stuff like. And he was amazing at writing poetry.
Yeah.
Singing it.
Yeah.
Nah.
We're going to get a lot of hate for that.
We are, aren't we?
Because The Doors are one of them bands where like a lot of people love them.
Yeah.
And so we're probably going to get a little bit of backlash from that. But
maybe.
Yeah, it's not our fault he can't sing. So The Doors frontman Jim Morrison.
Do you know the first gig he ever sang at?
No.
He couldn't face the crowd.
What?
He sung it facing the back of the stage.
Oh, like stage fright.
Yeah.
Thing. Oh, bless his cotton socks.
Yeah, because he was quite shy in the early days before.
Shy?
I know. It's stupid, isn't it? Jim Morrison was shy for his first gig.
Didn't he used to like take his shirt off and things?
Yeah, yeah. And he was like classic for the like swinging the mic around by the cable and all that sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh,
became like a really good showman, but his first gig, he couldn't even face the crowd.
Oh, that's interesting. That is. So the Doors frontman passed away on 3rd of July 1971, and he was found in the bathtub at 6 a.m. in Paris, France. Now, do you want to have a guess as to why Jim Morrison was living in Paris, France?
Oof.
Because I always thought American lives in America.
Yeah, in Paris. No. I didn't know it was in Paris, to be honest.
Okay, I'll give you a clue.
Was he deported?
No, not quite. So he was charged for something and was basically fleeing America, waiting for trial.
Ah, okay.
Would you like to guess what it was?
Jim Morrison, crikey. It wasn't... Well, we all know he was an absolute drug hound, but I wouldn't imagine he was waiting for a trial on that. I don't think I've ever heard of Jim Morrison being accused of murdering anyone.
No. Nope.
Maybe it was a sexual crime?
Oh, you're so close. You're so close. Not to anyone, necessarily.
Oh, exposing himself.
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah, public indecency and profanity.
Right, okay. A bit like Ozzy Osbourne when he took a leak up against the Alamo and he got arrested.
Yeah, right. Pretty much. So he was looking at 6 months in jail and he thought, now I'm going to Paris, France.
And it killed him. Good move.
Yeah, yeah. So, Pamela Corson was his girlfriend, and she was the one who found him in the bathtub. But no autopsy was performed on Jim Morrison, because by law in France, if they don't suspect foul play, which they thought it was a overdose, so because they thought there's no foul play, by law, they don't have to do an autopsy.
Oh, right, okay.
So there's never been an autopsy performed on...
Yeah, as far as I know, it was just an overdose in a bath. His missus came back and found him.
Yeah, and there's a slight conspiracy with this, because there's a couple of key points here. So the first one, that people think that he might still be alive, because that's the big conspiracy with Jim Morrison.
Is that he faked his death.
Faked his death. Still alive out there.
Still crooning.
Yeah. So there was a funeral for him less than 48 hours after his death.
And wow,
only,
that's quick.
Only five people were there.
Okay.
And he was buried in the same cemetery next to Oscar Wilde.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's a bit odd.
Yeah.
Right? No, I'm not necessarily saying it's a conspiracy. It's just that's a bit random.
Two days is very quick to have a... Was he buried back in America then?
Don't think so. I think it was...
In France?
Paris, France. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we're going to have to fact check this episode.
I think so.
I'm just going by...
It doesn't really matter anyway, does it? Because it's nothing to do with the conspiracy where he's buried.
There was another conspiracy that the US government and all of the associates, the CIA, they actually had a kind of plot to eliminate counterculture figures. And...
Well, I suppose Jim Morrison was very, like, F the system, wasn't he, you know?
And his father, George, was a rear admiral in the US Navy at the time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there's that conspiracy that he was killed off.
Okay.
And this one
by
is...
By government.
Yeah, by government. This one is the craziest part of the conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
right?
go for it.
So there is a man who wrote a book who... Called Sam Burnett. He owned the Paris... Well,
the book's called Sam Burnett.
No, he wrote
the author's
book.
Called Sam Burnett.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean.
What was the book called?
I didn't even write that bit down. I'm doing well with this research.
So if you want to back up Josh's research here, just go and find a book by Sam Burnett.
You know, I've been doing bullet points for a few weeks now. I think maybe I should go back to writing down paragraphs and more information.
No. So I like your bullet points. They're good.
This guy called Sam Burnett, he wrote a book. It was Rock and Roll something.
Rock
I know
and roll,
that.
Jim Morrison.
Yeah. Oh no, it was like rock and roll culture or something.
Something to
do with the rock and roll lifestyle and things. So he actually wrote a book, and in the book he wrote a theory. Now Sam Burnett, also at the time, he owned the Paris nightclub called Rock and Roll Circus. I wrote the name of the nightclub.
I bet that's what the book was called as well, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't called Rock. And he claims that he witnessed Jim Morrison actually overdose in the toilet of the nightclub the night before, and two men dragged his body, put it into a taxi, and returned it to the apartment, which they then found him the next day.
Oh,
and the reason he claims that he was dead beforehand and that he knew he'd already overdosed was he could see foam and blood coming out of Jim Morrison's mouth as he was being dragged away. That's just allegedly his theory.
Allegedly is a good theory.
Yeah, another little conspiracy with Jim Morrison, we all know, I just touched on it, is that he faked his death to leave his travels behind. But in 2016, a man called William Lawyer, in his 70s, was seen in Oregon, US, and is a spot-on lookalike for the Doors frontman.
I've seen the photograph.
It's pretty similar.
Yeah, I think I even used the photograph in an old episode.
Doppelgangers.
Yeah, I think it might have been, yeah.
So that's all I've got on Jim Morrison.
Fair enough.
But we're getting there. We're getting to the juicy
so
ones.
So how many is that now? Five?
That's four. So we'll do... Well, we've got the main six. I was going to do Kurt Cobain next, but I think that one's juicier, so I'll leave that till last.
Okay.
So now it's not in order, but number five is Amy Winehouse.
Yes, yeah.
She died of... As you can see, my notes here are very short for Amy Winehouse.
Don't need a lot for Amy Winehouse, dude.
There's not much to say. Bless her soul, she had some demons.
Yeah.
She passed away due to alcohol poisoning in 2011.
Yeah.
And there was two vodka bottles by her bed.
Yeah.
So
was it something like three times the lethal dose of alcohol in her system?
I read five times.
Fair play.
And she also was suffering with bulimia at the time.
Right,
she had
that
eating disorder. I watched a documentary many moons ago about Amy Winehouse, and the only kind of conspiracy tidbit that I can mention about it, it's not really a conspiracy, was she was in and out of rehab all the time.
Countless times, yeah.
And they tried to send her back to rehab. And she said no.
Couldn't resist that hook.
Well, we couldn't do it. But no, she was in and out of rehab. Poor old Amy. And so her friends and family, when she was in the last bit of rehab, she only had a matter of days to go and she would have had the all clear. But she signed some sort of contract because her dad was her manager as well.
Yeah.
She had signed some sort of contract where she had a certain amount of dates and shows to do by a certain time.
Yeah.
For certain X amount of money that I think they'd already paid her for these. So it was almost like she had to do them.
Okay, yeah.
And her friends and family all begged the dad and the music industry and the people that she worked for, saying, look, you can't do this to her. We know if she goes back on the road, she's going to end up killing herself. She's almost there. Like, give her time and, you know, we've got a good feeling about this time. And they didn't, because they're greedy buggers, yeah, and they wanted the money. So they pulled her out of the rehab. She went back, done all these shows, and that's when she ended up dying from alcohol poisoning.
That's a shame.
It's a real shame. Now,
I actually didn't mind with Amy Winehouse. I quite like some of her music.
That is something we can say about Amy Winehouse. Amazing voice.
Yeah. Well, she brought old-fashioned swing music into, like, the noughties and that.
Yeah,
she did.
Like,
did it in a really cool way as well. I liked her.
It was very unique. And there's videos of her, like, on YouTube when she was, like, a teenager singing. And it's exactly the same. And she's hitting all these notes and things.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting seeing such a, like, mature, like you say, soulful voice coming out of, like, a 17, 18-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just such a consistent, lovely-sounding voice. Yeah. So that is one thing I will say about Amy. Where, drugs and alcohol aside, she did actually have real talent.
Yeah, definitely, I'd say, yeah. R.I.P. Amy.
Yeah, yeah. So the last one, now, Kurt Cobain.
Oh!
He's actually...
Definitely conspiracy here.
100%. Now, before I get into it, right... Kurt Cobain is the reason that the 27 Club actually came about. So it wasn't until his death that people started looking into it. It was like, oh, 27's a bit of a coincidence. So he technically wasn't the first, but he's kind of started the
culture. That's probably because it was only like a few years before I actually got in my first band when I was 18, obviously. So, yeah, I think that is pretty much where the 27 Club was coined from, yeah.
Yeah. And we're not a true crime podcast.
No.
But Kurt Cobain, there is so much to this case. I promise you, at some point, we are going to come back and I am going to do a full episode on Kurt Cobain's...
You think there's enough to do that, yeah?
100%. I'm going to touch on maybe three or four notes here of, like, just brief bullet points of some of the inconsistencies and the weirdness and the conspiracy behind his death.
Yeah.
And I think these are enough to tickle your teats that you'll say, give me more, Josh.
Yeah, I want milk a full me. Episode.
Yeah.
Milk me.
Yeah, milk me, Josh. I need more. So I'm just going to give you some of the best kind of notes as to why people think it's conspiracy. Go ahead,
tickle our teats.
But for those who don't know, Kurt Cobain was the lead singer of Nirvana, and... he committed suicide with a shotgun.
Yes.
And left blew his own head off, notes.
Apparently.
Yeah, allegedly. So the suicide note was mixed writing. There was three or four different
handwritings
on the suicide note.
Okay.
Well, so that's one note.
Automatically a red flag, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. The gun was too long and too heavy for himself to pull the trigger, being that intoxicated on heroin, because they did find heroin in his system.
They would have done, yeah, because the stomach ulcer that he had, taking heroin to get rid of the pain.
And the amount of heroin in his system, he would have been out of it. He wouldn't have known how to pull the trigger.
Cock the gun, yeah.
There's no way. Also, Kurt Cobain was left-handed.
Yes.
And the gunshot wound and the general wounds and the spray of the blood...
Consistent with left-handed.
Definitely not. No.
Okay.
It looked more like he was either shot or it was by a right-handed person. There was also Valium and other drugs found in his system.
Yeah, I can believe that.
And here's another one here. Nicholas Hartshorn was the coroner who looked at Kurt Cobain.
Did the autopsy, yeah.
And he was a close friend of Courtney Love, allegedly, because we all know what Courtney's like.
The coroner was a close friend of Kurt's ex-wife?
Yes, yeah.
Right.
There was also a prenup in place that Kurt put down in the marriage. I don't want to get too much into the whole marriage and Courtney Love thing, because Courtney Love has some very smart lawyers. And
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say allegedly, but when we do the full podcast, there's also going to be a lot of allegedly. We're going to deep dive into it. And the last thing I will touch on with Kurt Cobain was he never purchased a gun himself. He only bought shotgun shells.
His friend to do it, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
His friend bought the shotgun for him. Kurt actually bought shotgun shells for the gun, but they were the wrong shotgun shells. They didn't fit in the gun.
Oh, okay. Wrong gauge. Yeah.
Yeah. So you tell me how that makes sense, how he was able to get the shotgun shells. Shoot himself
in the head with shotgun shells that don't fit the gun.
And they found the receipt for the shotgun shells that Kurt purchased, but there's no receipt for the ones that they found on the crime scene. And there's so much inconsistencies. And even the police now today, the case has been reopened a couple of times and closed again.
Yeah.
They still stand by suicide, but even close friends and family of Kurt still to this day say there's no way he would have killed himself. So we'll get into it at a later date, but Kurt Cobain conspiracy. Whew.
The king of the 27 Club.
Yeah. Now, I'm just going to quickly play a game with your pirate.
Okay, yeah.
Because we're coming towards the end now. I've waffled on long enough and got too many facts wrong. So we're going to switch that paper around. Now, it's a bit morbid, but unfortunately these people have passed on and there's nothing we can do about it. So we might as well play a game.
So I'm guessing the game is, are these people in the 27 Club or not?
Yes. I've got 10 celebrities here. 3 of them are members of the 27 Club. Let's go through them. So number one.
Okay.
Heath Ledger.
No. Older.
Older?
Yeah.
Do you want to take a guess for a bonus point?
33.
28.
Oh.
He just missed the 27 Club. Jade Goody. Not a musician. People around the world probably won't know who she is, but she was in Big Brother.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is in the 27 Club.
She is. Ding. Ba-ding. You've got one. You've got one so far.
Right.
But yeah, she was Big Brother UK for people that don't know. Brittany Murphy. The actress Brittany Murphy.
Don't even know who she is. I'm going to say no.
She was in 8 Mile with Eminem. She
died,
died quite young.
Okay, I'm going to say younger.
She was 32.
Oh.
I thought I could throw you off with that one because I thought you'd know who Brittany Murphy is.
No.
You definitely won't know this guy. Anton Yelchin. He was an actor in the newer Star Trek films. He was the guy that made the news because in his death, it was a very tragic, like, bad accident where it was not a fluke, but it's like, what are the chances of that kind of thing? So he basically run himself over with his own car.
Oh.
Yeah. Not funny at all. Like, no. It's actually quite bad.
That's tragic.
Yeah. But that's the guy.
Tragic is the word.
Yeah, tragic.
I don't know who he is, so I'm going to guess no. Well, actually, no, I'm going to guess yes, because I don't know who he is, and I don't think you would have put him on the list unless he was 27.
Damn it, you're on to me. Yes, he was a member of the 27. Yeah. He is actually the latest member of the 27 Club.
Okay.
Because he's actually quite a big celebrity. You'd probably recognise his face.
I might do.
Anyway, rapper Mac Miller. You've heard me mention him before at work. And RIP, because he was my favourite rapper. That was the first celebrity death that really kind of like affected me, where I was like, no way. I was proper gutted.
Oh, fair play. I'll say younger.
Bonus point, what's the age?
25.
26. 26. DJ and songwriter Avicii.
Oh, now I do remember that guy. No, I don't think it will be him. I'm going to say younger, 26.
28.
Oh.
He missed the 27 club by a few months. Number 7 out of 10. James Dean.
Wow. That's a long time ago. But you said that the other guy was the first guy in the 27 club. And James Dean was... when was he? Like the 1950s? Did he make it to the 60s?
Curse my own research.
I don't know. Like my old drummer in my band was like a massive fan of James Dean, and I just don't know. I know he died young. I'm going to say younger.
Yeah, take a stab.
24.
Hey. You get a bonus point. Aaron Hernandez, who was an American football player.
Him.
Yeah, he is a member of the 27 club.
Yeah.
The Elephant Man.
Well, we already know he's not.
Oh, no.
Because you told me there was three, and I've already done the three.
Well, just in Josh fashion, I got it wrong, and there's four members of the 27 club, not three.
So, The Elephant Man. What, the John elephant. Merrick?
Yes.
The actual
okay. Elephant Man.
Yeah, he didn't live very old. Yeah, come on, why not? Was he 27?
He was 27. Hey. And, well, you know this guy's not a member of the 27 Club now because I foiled at my own game. Otis Redding died at 26.
Did he?
Which I didn't know. I thought he was like in his 30s.
I didn't know. Yeah, I thought he was in his 30s.
And I will just end
on... Hell
of
a voice.
Yeah, really, really good.
Real smooth.
So we started off with two bad singers today, Bob Dylan and Jim Morrison, and we ended with Amy Winehouse and Otis Redding, so it's come full circle. Yeah. I will just make a couple of little facts here before we go.
Go for it. Why not?
So there are currently 74 members of the 27 Club as of 2024.
Wow, really?
I went through the list. A lot of them are, you know, C list, D list.
Z list, yeah.
Yeah. It was a struggle to find enough names for this game, if I'm honest.
Right.
And the last fact I've got is 56 is actually the highest celebrity death rate.
Oh, the age of 56. Yeah. More celebrities die at the age of 56 than what they do at 27.
Yeah.
Oh, fair
but
point.
There's no 56 club.
No.
It's just the facts.
Well, I guess it's more natural when you die at 56, isn't it?
Yeah. I suppose people don't start making conspiracy theories up and questioning it.
No,
not so that's
much.
All I've got on the 27 club.
Well done.
Don't really know how you're going to put it on this scale, because it's very morbid today.
It is quite morbid.
I mean, the 27 club, the mystique and the actual...
Yeah, should we rate it on how mysterious the 27 club is? Because obviously, like, Kurt Cobain, massively mysterious.
Yeah.
A few of the other ones, yeah, there is a bit of a mystery there. Jimi Hendrix, you know.
More coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah. Jim Morrison, maybe a bit of a conspiracy there. So, Janis Joplin as well, definitely kind of a spooky one, that.
Yeah.
I would give the 27 Club 8.6.
That's actually a lot higher than I thought you were going to go.
No, I don't know. I think there's enough there to, particularly with Kurt, to make these conspiracy sort of claims.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we're not debunking anything or proving anything.
Yeah.
We're just rating it on how mysterious do you think the 27 Club is? 8.6, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm with you. I'm definitely in the eights.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it out. If it wasn't for Kurt, I would go much lower. Because
same here, to be honest.
Even with Jim Morrison, like I think some of the conspiracies, obviously I didn't go into it massively, but there are strong theories that he is still alive and never died, especially with no autopsy and things.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it an 8.4.
Okay.
I'm going to go a bit lower.
So 8.5 average?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm happy with 8.4.
That's cool.
I think the amount of mistakes I made and stuff, I'm not happy with myself, you know. I can't give myself a good score on that, you know. It's just...
I think you've done all right. I was just kind of catching you out with a couple of questions there, that's all.
And then my own game that was made to trick you, I ended up catching myself.
You kind of did.
And my own research foiled me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have wrote that book down.
And words.
Yeah. But everyone knows words aren't my strongest.
Not really. This is not great for a podcast, is it?
No. What's even funny is I've got worse because I actually got an A in English literature.
Did you?
It's the only A I got. Oh, so it doesn't make sense, really.
Well done.
I don't know. But there you go.
That's literature, not language, though, isn't it? So there you go.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all I've got, mate. It's 27 Club.
Righto. Well, with that out of the way, then, I am going to do our call to action this week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have mentioned this before. We have a Patreon where you can listen to all our podcasts, advert-free, guaranteed. I upload them because our podcast host puts adverts in automatically. That's why, like, if you've got Spotify and you're paying for Spotify, you still get adverts because the host is putting them directly in. On Patreon, I upload clean version, no adverts, absolutely every week. Plus, there's some bonus content. And to try and encourage people to join our Patreon, I have got hold of, and this whole episode, if you're watching on YouTube, you will have seen, I'm wearing a Paranormality special limited edition bandana. If you would like one of your own, it's got our logo on it with a haunted house background. I have 10 of these to offer.
Ooh.
You can't get them at the merch store. They're not on there.
Exclusive.
We couldn't get merch bandanas. So our graphic designer actually managed to get these made up himself, and he sent me 10 of them. And I'm going to give them out to the first 10 people that join our Patreon. If you want a pirate bandana, Paranormality style, go and join our Patreon, and you will definitely get one of these if you're one of the first 10 people to join. And that is basically our call to action. Obviously, you know, it doesn't bother me. If you don't mind listening to the adverts and you're happy to just, you know, take the free episodes, fair enough. Like, but it would help us out a lot if we could get a few Patreons. It's only £2 a month. There's not like loads of tiers or anything.
Mm.
You know, some of these creators, they got like £25 a month and like £50 a month. Well, we're not asking for that.
No, that'd
be ridiculous. Like £2 a month. That's all it is. And you get advert free. You get a couple of bonus bits when we can remember to do them. and now the official Paranormality bandana. And this is the only way to get hold of it. So, go head over to Patreon if you want to be a pirate supporter. Well, a pirate and Josh supporter, but I'm the one that wears the bandanas.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be caught dead in that, mate. I've got fashion sense, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Okay. But yeah, that's where you go to it. Go to Patreon. I guess it's Patreon/Paranormality UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, go. You can find. It's not all of our adverts. I think it's everything from Halloween last year.
Yeah, it's not.
Because I never put adverts on like all of the first year's episodes. It was only a handful of them that got it, and then I got bored of putting them on there. So, everything from Halloween onwards, you can listen to advert-free, and you can get yourself a Paranormality bandana, which I've been wearing quite proudly all episode. I love it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
We've got episode 100 coming up, so stay tuned for some news with episode 100.
Oh, yes, we're going all out of the bag on that one.
Yes, we got some.
I know it's a few weeks away yet, because this is what episode 80 something, but we are starting to think about that 100th episode. It's going to be a party. Stay tuned. And until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
It's been Paranormality UK. Ta ta.
Ta ta.
Even the busiest of holiday schedules is no match for Alo Moves, the streaming wellness platform where you can sculpt your muscles, unwind with a yoga class, or even learn the art of awareness with their latest meditation offerings. On demand, whenever works for you. And right now, for Cyber Week, you can get almost 40% off your one-year membership with great deals on six-month and monthly memberships too. Start saving today at allomoves.com. Allomoves.com.
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Bombas presents unsolicited gifting advice. Number one, if they say not to get them anything, get them something. Two, underwear is a great gift, just not for your boss. And three, those absurdly soft Bombas socks and slippers you've been eyeing for yourself, they'll love those. And the fact that for every item you purchase, another is donated to someone who needs it, they'll love that even more.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.